Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. I'm sure you would have noticed how we are trying to play with the technology. Every church minister at this time has to learn new ways of doing church. This service is concurrently taking place with a Zoom service that will be conducted by our session clerk, Francis. But from now until the Lord's Prayer, we are going to be together with them, so they are joining us via Zoom. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time, or those who may be doing so after a very long time. In church this morning is my mother-in-law, Ma Justina Bibong, and my children, whom you know very well, and I'm sure you've not seen them for quite some time. Let us begin our worship this morning by thinking on the words of the psalmist at Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Let us worship God and affirm him, all people that on earth do dwell.
Thank you.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have promised to grant what we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Teach us to pray earnestly and to praise your name with all the saints and redeemed. Fulfill our prayers, inspire our thoughts to discover what is just and direct our will to do it. We ask for your forgiveness for all that we have done wrong to ourselves, to others, and to your good creation. For the beauty of the earth, desecrated by pollution, extinguished by forest fires, choked by plastic wastes, Christ, our God, forgive us for systemic greed. For the urgency of this hour, ignored by apathy or procrastination, wasted by ineffective decisions and denied by economic interests, Christ, our God and Savior, forgive us for selfish short-term behavior, for the joy of human love, fractured by forced migration, crushed by bereavement, lost to typhoons, floods, and starvation. Christ, our God, bringer of justice, forgive us for this climate crisis. We ask all this as we bring our thoughts together in the words our Savior gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now say goodbye to our Zoom worshippers and wish you the best as you continue with your service at your own end, while we continue here with our physical service.
Good morning and welcome to our Sunday Zoom service. Here we are, Lord, your people, your church, meeting together online to honour and glorify your name. We welcome each other and we welcome you into our midst and fellowship. Faithful Father, make yourself known to each and every one of us through our worship, our prayers, and our understanding of your word for us this morning. The absence of our children within our worship over the past year has prompted the selection of our next praise song, which is sung by the Hillsong Kids. Trust, trust in the Lord.
Him, and he shall direct your paths.
He will
will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth.
Morning is from the Old Testament, from Psalm 107. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Second reading from the New Testament is from Acts chapter 27, verses 13 to 26, and then from 39 through to Acts 28, chapter 2. The storm. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. you must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word.
Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our mind, and the meditations of our heart be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. To many of us, the passage and demise of the SS Titanic remains a total enigma. Just how could such a robust, seemingly unsinkable ship, the pride of all Belfast, be condemned to the seabed by an iceberg on her maiden voyage? Then 85 years later, having discovered the wreck at a depth of 12,500 feet, how many of us sat in utter amazement as the remotely controlled underwater vehicle scanned the rusting hulk of the wreck, sending live pictures around the world. How eerie the scene appeared as the ship, broken in two, sat upright on the seabed, with many elements of its superstructure still intact. Fishes now navigating the wooden decks and staircases that would have been populated by promenading passengers, all excited at the prospect of meeting family or starting a new life in the United States. It was without doubt a disaster seemingly with beyond belief. Yet many a ship like the one Paul found himself on board has also succumbed to the elements, caught in a sudden raging storm, blown off course, and dashed, smashed, and broken against the rocks and reefs of our shorelines. And each spring, Iceberg Alley off the coast of Labrador in Newfoundland continues to challenge mariners trying to secure a safe passage to North America. Closer to home, and according to our National Archives, a conservative estimate of the number of known wrecks mapped and lying off the Scottish shoreline is somewhere in the region of 22,000, with 35 of those lying in the Tay Estuary. But unlike the Titanic sinking, where 1,514 souls perished as she sank into the murky, icy depths of the North Atlantic, God assured Paul that although the ship itself and the cargo might be lost, all 276 souls on board the vessel would be saved. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." Paul, having declared his allegiance to his heavenly master, then, through faith, conveyed this message to all on the ship. "So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Do we, through our faith, recognize this security in our lives? Do we, through our faith, place our entire trust on God? "So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Do we, despite our faith, sometimes need to run aground in life? Do we seek shelter and solace in the promise of God? And finally, can we truly say that by forsaking all, I trust him? This is a meaningful mnemonic to help us understand what faith really should mean to us. Forsaking all, I trust him. As we navigate through life and personal relationships, we encounter lengthy periods of smooth, calm waters with easy passage where all is well. All too often, however, these calm times are truncated and negated by the sudden storms and rough times which rise up unannounced and impede our progress in life. Plans and ambitions thwarted, dreams shattered. Have you ever been shipwrecked? Perhaps not literally, but maybe you have been figuratively shipwrecked. Have you ever found yourself holding on to the debris of what is left in your life, while the waves seemingly push you further away from shore? Has your life ever crashed on a reef and had the waves smash it to pieces? Have you ever dragged yourself up onto the beach and thanked God that somehow you survived? We will survive many of the storms we encounter in life, but others will test us almost to destruction, rendering us shipwrecked, beached, and seemingly stranded. But we must always, as Christians, remember we are never abandoned, never forgotten, never permanent castaways in God's eyes. I will never leave nor forsake you, God promises in Joshua. And in Hebrews, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Yet, few of us remain untouched by the rigors and experiences of life. 42% of all marriages in the UK now end up on the rocks. 1 million of our children are marooned with no contact with their fathers. 65,000 cases of domestic abuse occur in Scotland each year. And just over 1 million people aged over 65 in normal times within the UK say they always or often feel lonely and totally abandoned. 84,000 people are shipwrecked in our prisons, while each year over 300,000 people seek the life raft provided by our drug and alcohol services. And in more ordinary times, one in four people in the UK will experience a mental health problem. Globally, there is a rising tide of displacement, with a staggering 70 million people displaced or isolated as refugees, with 37,000 more joining them every day. More than 3 billion people live on less than £2 a day. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children never make it to the lifeboats, dying each day due to poverty and its effects of illness and malnutrition. Countless lives are shipwrecked through indifference, conflict, corruption, and greed. And it would be so easy to assume the attitude of Private James Fraser in Dad's Army and suggest, "We're doomed. We're all doomed." Yet, remarkably, despite all this suffering, the one thing which sustains so many people in life is their Christian faith. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." Isaiah 12, verse 2. "Forsaking all, I trust him." There are stellar examples of goodness and kindness exhibited by people motivated by their Christian faith and the trust they place in Jesus. Corrie ten Boom, who went to prison after turning her home into a refuge for Jews. Or Maximilian Kolb and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose faith led to their execution by the Nazis. Think of William Wilberforce, Thomas Clarkson and the Quaker ladies who battled against slavery. Or women like Elizabeth Fry and Phyllis Bowman and their heroic efforts for prisoners and the unborn. Jackie Pullinger, working with the drug addicts of Kowloon, Lord Shaftesbury and the regulation of child labour, Father Damien and the lepers, Mother Teresa and the dispossessed. In their practical outpouring of radical love, they would have agreed with C.S. Lewis, who learnt to see everything through his Christian faith. Even the cancer and death of Joy Davidman, the woman with whom he fell in love so late in his life. I believe in Christianity just as I believe in the rising sun, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Because by it I see everything else. I remain in awe of all those who have suffered greatly for their faith, but go on working for justice, peace, and reconciliation. I remember well the list of faithful Scottish missionaries and clergy featured on the monument at the original mission site in Blantyre, Malawi. Faith does not create shipwrecks, but faith inspires us to find answers, remedies, and solutions. Faith is the food for the journey, sustenance for the bad times as well as the good, the compass and the sextant by which we navigate the rocks, the sounding line to measure the fathoms and the depths, the capstan and the windlass, hauling us back when we drift, and the anchor, which stops us from being driven out to sea. The poem, The Wreck of the Deutschland, Gerard Manley Hopkins' masterpiece, depicting the loss of 157 lives, is dedicated to five Franciscan nuns who drowned, having been forced to leave Germany by the Falk laws, which compromised religious freedom. Rhine refused them. Thames would ruin them, he later wrote. In facing the inevitable shipwreck, one of the nuns put her whole life into Jesus's hands, and her faith is heard above the terrifying din of destruction, as she simply says, "O Christ, come quickly." The poem's Christian themes remind us that even in such tragedy, consolation comes through faith, that death is not in itself the end. Further glories await us all in God's heavenly kingdom. By going to Rome and the probability of death, Paul brings Christianity to the whole Roman Empire. God brings good out of evil. Paul's faith becomes the solution to the argument they had been having in Jerusalem about just how to spread Christianity. Despite being beaten, stoned, hated, derided, shipwrecked and imprisoned, Paul's faith was strengthened, and everything that happened to him enabled and strengthened his witness for Christ. As we listen again to the story read to us by Alison, Paul's shipwreck teaches us about the insufficiency of our own wisdom, about trusting God, not judging and jumping to conclusions about people, about receiving and giving hospitality, about welcoming kindness to the unexpected visitor, how the seeds of faith are planted, how even the most unlikely among us can become God's agents, and how faith is at the heart of all solutions. The year was 57 AD, and having just completed his third missionary journey, Paul came to Jerusalem, where we are told that his embrace of the Gentiles led to him being assailed by an angry mob who hatched a plot to kill him. Taken in chains before the tribune and then the governor, Paul exercised his right as a Roman citizen to appeal directly to Caesar. It was on his way to Rome to answer his accusers that the ship is wrecked. St. Luke says that they swim to the island and reach safety. When we learned that the island was called Malta, the natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Paul was smashed against the rocks many times. His extraordinary story and the shipwreck teach us a great deal about how to handle the days when we ourselves feel smashed against the rocks, or on the days when, in the words of the psalmist, our courage melts away. Sometimes we may need to jettison certain aspects of our life, just as the crew were encouraged to do with their cargo, to lighten the load, to cast away those things which hinder us and keep us estranged from God. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. At other times, it may be necessary to run aground, to take time out, reassess our situation, to rest and seek reassurance in the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of mind which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we see this need in others. It is in such times that we must remember and emulate the reception Paul received in Malta, totally welcoming, with displays of unusual loving kindness. Living as we do by the River Tay, we can see for ourselves the changing mood of the water when a storm breaks. First the swell, then the breakers start to spill over, and finally the tumultuous white horses smash in a thunderous roar against the shoreline. When the upheavals and turbulence of life confront us, will our faith allow us to stand firm, to put our trust in Jesus, to protect us from the storm? In the words of Priscilla Owens, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift, or firm remain. Yes, the story of Paul's shipwreck teaches us about ourselves, our contemporary society, but most importantly, about our faith. As we heard from the Hillsong Kids recording earlier from Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Can we all genuinely say, forsaking all, I trust him? Is this simple statement at the very core of our faith? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless us and keep us safe when we experience the sudden, unpredicted storms of life. When we lose control and become overwhelmed by the ensuing situation, guide us through the tumult and return us safely to quieter waters, where we can grow into a deeper relationship with you and a fuller understanding of your will in our lives. May you fill us with your love, keep us from sin, and show us how to navigate around the reefs of temptation. May all our journeys with you be straight, have fair winds and following seas, and may we be welcoming and show unusual kindness to all the strangers that we encounter on the way. May our faith in you, Lord, never falter. May we abide in you always and acknowledge that we have forsaken all and trust in you alone. Amen. Our next hymn, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all and all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. And bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands at victory, since Christ has lost its grip on me, the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final ray, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let us bring before God our prayers for the offering and our intercession for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts overflow with thanks for all that you provide in our lives. You are infinitely good to us. Accept our offerings today to be used in the furtherance of your kingdom, both here in North Fife and elsewhere in the world, where you discern the needs are greatest. Amen. All our concerns are God's concerns. Let us share them with him now. The bidding in this prayer is God of mercy, and the response, hear our prayer. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who gather in your name throughout the world, and for our congregation here in Newport-on-Tay, and our extended fellowship within the North Fife cluster. Make us a listening and responsive church, welcoming to the hesitant, encouraging to the young, sensitive to difference and attentive to the needs of all, seeking opportunities to share your love and to draw others close to you. We pray for our minister Amos, for our Kirk session, and all who serve you in this church, giving of their time, resources, and their talents to further your kingdom in this community and beyond. God of mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, make us a caring world, wise in government, honest in promises, far-sighted in the management of resources, and open-hearted in charitable giving. We thank you for all peace initiatives and every genuine attempt of negotiation towards conflict resolution. We pray for discernment and perseverance as our leaders work towards peace and reconciliation in line with your will, and a time when our laws and expectations will truly reflect your perfect justice and love. God of mercy,
hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, make us a responsible community, supporting our neighbours and our friends, sharing one another's sorrows and joys, and opening our homes to your indwelling. We pray for harmony and understanding in our family relationships, the willingness both to give and to receive, to forgive and be forgiven, for understanding and mutual respect. God of mercy, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are distressed by so many lives, broken and deceived by abuse and neglect, the associated heartbreak or family split apart by emotional conflicts and financial worries. We pray for the marginalised, the scorned and rejected, for those isolated through illness
or imprisonment. For those who feel that no one understands, surround them with all your love, that they may know you. They may know they are all precious to you. God of mercy, hear our prayer.
Father, we pray for your healing touch. May it bring wholeness and peace to those who suffer, and hope to those who are close to despair. We pray for our National Health Service, our medical centres and hospitals, and all who bring comfort and healing, diagnosis, surgery and relief. Father, we pray for those approaching the end of their days, awaiting the call to enter into your eternal kingdom. We commend into your loving mercy the dying, and those who have already joined you in the beauty and joy of heaven above. We ask for your comfort and loving embrace to surround loved ones left behind in their time of sorrow and grief, Lord. Reassure them and console them. God of mercy, hear our prayer.
Father, we ask for your blessing on our Queen Elizabeth, all who represent us in both local and national government, the Church of Scotland, the Presbytery of Fife, and all who bear office in this congregation. Guide and protect our armed services, wherever they are deployed, and for whatever purpose they have been asked to fulfil. We give you thanks, Lord, for calling us by name and keeping us safe through the storms and difficulties of this life, through the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now sing our last stirring hymn this morning, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life.
Yeah.
trusting in the Lord, let us all go forth into the calm and storms of life, resting in the assurance that we are not alone in doing so. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.